ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading today Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Verse 69. The chapter is called Ambarish Maharaj Offended by Durvasa Muni. Upayam Katayishyami Tava vipra shrunin vastat Ayam hi atma vicharaste Yatastam yahimma chiram Sadushu prahitam teja Prahartu kurute shivam. So translation and purport by His Divine Grace Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we can imagine Durvasa Muni is now right in front of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is now speaking to him, he is now advising him. O Brahmana, Shishi Gornitaya ki jai, Shishi Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shishi Radhesham ki jai. O Brahmana, let me advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately, without a moment's delay. One's so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harm he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. Purport. A Vaishnava is always an object of envy for non-devotees, even when the non-devotee happened to be his father. To give a practical example, Hiranyakashipu was envious of Prahlad Maharaj, but this envy of the devotee was harmful to Hiranyakashipu, not to Prahlad. Every action taken by Hiranyakashipu against his son Prahlad Maharaj was taken very seriously by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus, when Hiranyakashipu was on the verge of killing Prahlad, the Lord personally appeared and killed Hiranyakashipu. Service to a Vaishnava gradually accumulate and become an asset for the devotee. Similarly, harmful activities directed against the devotee gradually become the ultimate cause of the performer's fall down. Even such a great Brahmana and mystic yogi as Durvasa was in a most dangerous situation because of his offenses at the lotus feet of Maharaj Ambarish, a pure devotee. The verse again, O Brahmana, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately, without a moment's delay. One so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. magyana timirandasya gyananchana shalakaya chakshurun miritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jayatam surato pangor mama manda mater gati mat sarvasva padam bujo radha madana mohano jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadada shivasadi gora bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Panchakalpa Tarubhyastya, Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha So I like to request the blessings of the senior devotees. I'm quite junior to be sitting on the Vyasasana, but I hope with your blessings I will be able to say something inspiring today. The chapter itself is amazingly inspiring. The story itself is showing the how valuable the Vaishnavas are for the Lord, how dear the Vaishnavas are there. We can say it's Vaishnava Mahima. It's speaking about the glories of the Vaishnavas. So this verse is actually has many different components or many different sections that are interesting to go through. The first that we can notice in the verse is the previous verse, Lord Narayana was speaking to Ambarish and was really giving the essence of how much he is loving the devotees. And now he's going to give a personal advice to Duvasa Muni, what he has to do now. And so the Lord said, let me now advise you. And why? Why is he advising? Say, for your protection. You are in great danger. What is the danger for Ambarish, for Duvasa Muni? He has a burning chakra who is waiting for him in the back. That's quite a great danger. So the Lord said, okay, I advise you now for your protection. You really need protection. Listen my advice. Then he said, please hear from me. That means take it really carefully. Please listen. I had a friend devotee, whenever he will speak to me, he will say, listen carefully, listen. Even the Lord is saying that, listen, now please hear. That's very important. Then he explained that by offending Maharaj Ambarish, he has acted with self-envy. I looked a little bit in the folio, I think three times only in Srimad Bhagavatam this word self-envy is used. I was asking yesterday Mother Narayani and Adipurusha to get a little bit clarification on that. And actually in the word, I forgot the word by word actually. Guess it's all right. It's all right, Maharaj? We go forward. Actually, in the word by word, there was a definition for self-envy, which was actually atma abhichara. And Prabhupada translate that self-envy or envious of yourself. And Prabhupada put in bracket, your mind has become your enemy. So, after discussing with the Vaishnavas, that was more or less the same point that came, that to being envious of yourself means to be envious of the soul, of the Atma. And Prabhupada writes, uncontrolled mind, which is very much what is happening when the mind is uncontrolled. It will act actually against our self-interest or the self-interest of the soul. And then the advice comes very clear. You go immediately. You go immediately to Maharaj Ambarish. Do not delay. So this is, I think, the core of this lecture, the a feeling or a attitude of urgency. Something very, very bad have happened, and Duvasa Muni is in great danger. So immediately, without delay, you go to Maharaj Ambarish. And then the Lord end his verse by saying that you have a lot of prowess. You had a lot of power. But if you use those powers against the devotee, then it will be back to you. It will be against yourself. Then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada brings the example of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. Srila Prabhupada warns us that as devotee, we might be the object of enviousness from those who are non-devotee. And Prabhupada brings this point of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. Even the father was envious of his son. And then Prabhupada writes that that this offense was taken very seriously by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is more or less the verse and the purport in a nutshell. And I would like today to speak of three different topics that are related, that the main theme of the lecture is feeling of urgency. When an offense has been done, we should immediately look for repairing that. But I would like to have one section when we speak, why are those offenses to the Vaishnava so serious? Then I would like to speak about how we can protect ourselves against doing those offenses. And the last section will be about acting very fast and how to rectify it. So why is this offense so serious? This offense is so serious because the Lord loves his devotee very much. We heard yesterday a beautiful verse that the Lord said, "They are in my heart. They are in my heart, and I don't think of anything else. I don't have any other concern than my own devotees." They are all, through the scriptures, we will find many, many, many verses. I got just few quotes yesterday in my study. The first one is in Bhagavatam 3:16:7, when the four Kumaras were trying to enter the gate of Vaikuntha, and the Jai and Vijay, the guardians, they say, "No, sorry, you cannot enter." Then a little bit later, the Lord is coming, and he understood that my guards, Jai and Vijay, they made an apparat to the four Kumaras. And then he's speaking a very beautiful verse. The Lord said, "Because I am the servitor of my devotees, my lotus feet have become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all the sins." So the Lord said, all the power that I have is because I'm serving my devotees. So this is another instance when the Lord showed how dear actually every one of you, how dear all the devotees are in the eyes of the Lord. Another verse in 11th canto, Lord Krishna is speaking, 26th chapter, verse 34. He said, "My devotees are one's real worshipable deity and real family. They are one's own self, and ultimately they are non-different from me." We can remember this morning, I was remembering when Krishna went to Dwarka to meet his friend Sudam Vipra. When Sudam came to visit Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna was sitting him in his own seat and was washing his feet. I think you might have seen the picture in the Bhagavatam or Krishna book. Very moving situation where the Lord shows how much dear are his devotees to him. Therefore, the Lord take it very seriously when an offense is done to his devotees. So now, how can we protect ourselves against such serious offense? And one point that I would like to bring is that we learn to value the devotees. To value the devotees and to worship the devotees. This is a topic that is very, very relevant in my own life. Why should we value the devotees? What is so special in the heart of the devotees? Babuji, in the back. Very good. I think we have also that in connection of Shiva speaking to Parvati. He said, if someone worships the Lord, 50-50. Maybe he pleases me, he pleases Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord, maybe not. But the one who serves my devotee, 100%, assured, he will please the Supreme Lord. The devotees, they also protect us against Maya. We hear verses and verses and verses about the importance of having the devotees close to us, of being in close association with them. And if you look, obviously, when we are in Sri Vrindavan Dham, so many devotees, it doesn't look so special. But if you look in a global way, if you look the whole entire world, how many do you find who really are ready to dedicate their lives to the Supreme Lord, dedicating their life to serve the Lord? So they are very, very special. Very, very special. So when we learn to value the devotees, then we are actually very much protected in our heart. I'm serving in a temple in Germany, Goloka Dham temple, and we have sometimes a preacher coming. His name is Vishwavasu Prabhu. And recently he was visiting and he was saying, the Vaishnavas, they are the object of our worship. They are those we should worship. Now, how can we offend any Vaishnava? How can we offend the object of our worship? How is that possible? So this is something that we have to train ourselves to see all the devotees, all the Vaishnavas, as the object of our worship. When I was young, I was going on book distribution and we were staying in the house of one Prabhupada disciple. And when we would come back after book distribution, his name was Chandrapati, he was waiting with arati plate and he was giving us an arati. That was a little embarrassing, but it was practical application of worship of the devotees. And this we find also very often in the scriptures when it's written that we should be worshipping and glorifying the devotees. In the 10th canto, in the first chapter, at the end of the chapter, there is a part that is called additional notes. I don't know if that happened in any other of the chapter of Bhagavatam, but Prabhupada brings some additional notes into the chapter. And there, Srila Prabhupada writes, glorifying the Lord and glorifying the Lord's devotee are the same. Or rather, glorifying the devotee is more important than glorifying the Lord directly. In another lecture, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati speak also about the glories of the devotees and how they are the object of our worship. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says, Gaurasundar and his associate are the object of our worship. Gaurasundar cannot be worshipped without his associate. There is no way for the living being to attain auspiciousness except to worship the Vaishnavas. So there is an example in Chaitanya Charitamrita of one devotee who was valuing very, very profoundly the devotees. And his name is Kalidas. Kalidas was an uncle, one of the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. And his main hobby, or his main service, or his main attraction was to get the maha, the remnants of the devotees. He will go, it's written in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he had a vow, and his vow was that he will take the remnants of all the Vaishnavas from Bengal. That's must be quite of a number. And it's also quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he will not go only to the Uttama Bhaktas, he will go to all the Vaishnavas. All the Vaishnavas he will go, he will offer them fruits, especially having some stones inside, mango was ideal, and then he will hide behind the house of the Vaishnava. And when he will hear that the stone had been thrown outside of the house, he will go and he will relish those Mahaprasad of the devotees. How valuable for him the Vaishnavas were. That's a beautiful example. There is some little bit more example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There was Jadu Thakur, another Vaishnava, and Kalidas go, and they have a discussion of a humility Olympia of humility. You are such a great devotee. No, I'm from a lowest caste. No, you are the best devotee. They will argue like this for back and forth, and shows how sweet this relationship between the Vaishnava is, and how much every Vaishnava value the other Vaishnavas. And at the end, Jadu Thakur brings Kalidas out of the courtyard, goes back to his home, and Kalidas turned back and looked down on the ground, and he see the footsteps of Jadu Thakur on the sand. And he waits that Jadu Thakur is back to his house, and when he's out of sin, he's diving into the sand, rolling into the sand and going into transcendental ecstasy. This is such a beautiful example of valuing every Vaishnava, every devotee. And then later on, he went to Jagannath Puri, and every day Lord Chaitanya would go to the temple, would go to wash his feet at a particular place before Jagannath temple. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a servant called Govinda, and Govinda knew, I have to forbid anyone to drink the water of Mahaprabhu. That was one of his service. Obviously the devotees, by crook or by hook, by trickery or anyway, they knew how important is this water that washed Mahaprabhu's feet. So they will try in many ways to get this water. So one day was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was washing his feet, Kalidas come and just stand in front and just go with his hands, start to drink one time, two time, three time, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Govinda were stunned, how dare he to come and drink in front like this. And then he tried to drink another time, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, enough, now you got enough, please go away. And there is explanation that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will not allow that to be done. But he knew, Kalidas has so much appreciation for the Vaishnavas, I will give him this mercy. So I thought to take this example today in the lecture, to give us some inspiration to worship and value every single Vaishnava. It's so easily happening in our life, we take it for granted. This Vaishnava is like this Vaishnava is like that. But today in the lecture, the idea is to bring back this awareness how every single Vaishnava is very, very dear to the Lord, and how we should guard ourselves of offending any Vaishnava by valuing them and worshipping the Vaishnavas. I like to just give one or two more glorification of the Vaishnavas. Once is coming from Lochan Das, one of his songs. Please hear, again, please hear the glories of the Vaishnavas. They are causelessly merciful to everyone. Their life is helping others. Their decorative ornaments is helping others. The happiness of their heart is helping others. When I was in Vrindavan many years ago, I was having a good friend, and we were taking prasad, associating together. And one day he told me, all the Vaishnavas, they have lotus-like eyes. They really? Say, yes, they have lotus-like eyes because they have soft hearts. They maybe don't have exactly the shape of a lotus, but they are soft like lotus because they have very soft heart. And very often, if you look carefully, the eyes of the Vaishnava, you will notice they have lotus-like eyes. There is another quote. It is from Vashishta Shastra. I never heard about this Shastra before, but I got the quote from a friend. One should always associate with the devotees. Even if they do not teach you directly, their conversation amongst themselves will teach you. Association with wise devotees make what was empty full. It turns death into immortality. It turns calamity into good fortunes. So this is some thoughts about how to avoid to commit aparad to the Vaishnava, valuing them, worshipping them. And one thing I often do in the morning when we are chanting Nisinga Pranam, we are praying to Lord Nisingadev for protection. And this is very important protection that we need. And this is the protection that Lord is speaking to Duvasamuni, is protection against Vaishnava Parad. That might help when we pray to Lord Nisingadev, please protect me for offending any Vaishnava today. Please protect me for offending the holy name. Please protect me against any offenses, because those will be stumbling block. They will block our spiritual path. Another thought in our daily life, we can be introspective into our dealings with the Vaishnavas. How do we interact with them? And it's just so easy to let one offense skip here, go here, go there. So it's very nice to be introspective in our life. And as soon as we feel, oh, maybe I was a little harsh here, maybe I was not supposed to correct that devotee, or I missed to actually show respect to this great devotee, to immediately trace back and go to the devotee correct the wrong attitude when it comes. So often in our mind the offenses are coming, and if you let them in the mind, then they will express physically. When they turn in the mind, if we don't immediately deal with this, they will come out in a physical way. So as soon as the offenses come into the mind, immediately correct it. Immediately remember the glories of the Vaishnava. Try to see the positive into every single, into this particular Vaishnava you might have seen in a wrong way. It's so easy to judge devotees, to label them. We put them stickers on the head. Oh, he's like this, or he's like that. But it's very beautiful to learn to have this single vision, Sama vision, and to see, wow, they are all in the heart of the Lord. They are all dear to the Lord. This is, I know since today that I have to give this lecture, and preparing myself, I had so many days, so many times this thought coming, wow, they are all situated in the heart of the Lord. It's very, very beautiful meditation. Very, very, very nice. I like to tell a small story of one devotee who was very, very, very careful to not offend any devotees. And you might have heard the story a few times. His Holiness Radhanathaswami is telling this story. It's the story of a very exalted Vaishnavi. Her name was Ladini Mataji. She used to serve in New Vrindavan. Very, very exalted soul. She was the pujari of Jagannath. The life was extremely austere. They would have to break the ice in the morning to take their shower. And she was worshipping Jagannath, Baladev Subhadra. And after some time, she started to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And as she was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, she started to get dreams of Lord Nityananda coming in her dreams and saying, you have to go out, go out, you have to distribute books, go out. So she took the dreams seriously. They, with another Mataji, they took a van, went out in book distribution. But then when she was out in book distribution, she would get dreams of Baladev coming to her dreams. Come back, worship me. I want you to worship me. So she would write to Radhanath Swami and say, what should I do, Maharaj? I'm in dilemma. Should I follow Balaram? Should I follow Nityananda? What should I do? A very, very special soul. Maharaj explained that there was once they were doing book distribution, they have a book stand, they were distributing books and they had deities of Gornitai on the book stands. Then the police came and said, you have nothing to do here, you go out. Gladini came and opposed it and said, no, this is our duty, we have to distribute books. So the policeman said, okay, if it's the problem, if you don't want to follow, we just take all of you to jail. So Ladini said, if you want to take us to jail, you have to take them to jail. And she pointed to Gornitai. She said, we are here because of them. So if you want to put us to jail, you have to put them to jail. Policemen were a little bit bewildered. That they took all the devotees, the deities, everyone to jail. And then after some days, there was a court case that was done. And one devotee was there, one Swami was there to defend the case. And he was saying, yeah, dear judge, we promise we will not do that anymore. And Ladini stood up and said, no, we will do that again. This is because of Gornitai. We want to do that. And the judge said, okay, we'll get out of here. But at the end of her life, she went to preach in North Africa. I'm not 100% sure. I think it was in Nigeria. And she had tremendous success. Her Shraddha was so strong. She would lead Harinam. There was like thousands of people following in her Harinams. And then the war started in the country and all the American people were supposed to leave the country. And she decided, no, I will stay here. I have my service here. I will stay here. And she was writing to Radhanath Swami. She was writing, there are bombs falling around, people are killing each other, it's terrible. But she was saying, I have no fear. I have no fear of death. Then she was writing, my only fear is that I may offend a Vaishnava. This is my only fear that I have. And then, close to the end of the story, the military people came one evening to the temple and they were ready to kill everyone. They say, we'll kill all the men, but the woman will let you safe, you can go away, but we will kill all the men. Ladini stood up and I said, I will not tolerate that. If you want to kill any one of the men here, you have to kill me first. And then she was shot at first, and then they killed the men, and the other ladies were there could explain what happened. But that was for her. It would have been offending Vaishnava to see a Vaishnava be killed in front of her. That would have been more painful than death itself. That's amazing example of a person who was really, really careful and really, really mindful of not offending any Vaishnava. So the last point I would like to mention is regarding what to do when offenses was already done, which is very much the case of today's verse. The offense had been done to Maharaj Ambarish, so Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan say, fast. Do it fast. Go it. Don't wait any time. Go to Ambarish Maharaj. He do not mention anything right now what he has to do when he goes to him. But it was very, very clear for Durvasamuni when he went. The next chapter we will hear that. First thing he's doing is falling at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj and asking for forgiveness. Very important to offer obeisances, to ask forgiveness. It's just so easy to say, oh Prabhu, I'm sorry. It's so easy to be sorry. But when we offer obeisances, we can really do it from the heart. We can really offer our apology or ask for forgiveness with our heart. I have one in the community where I'm living. We have one very nice Vaishnavi, Senior Vaishnavi Mani Manjari, and she always tells that all the dealings you have with the Vaishnava either will bring to you some blessings or either will get to you some dark eyes. So even smallest things, whatever you do with the Vaishnava, either it will empower you or either it will block you. So in any dealings that we have with the Vaishnava, we have to be extremely careful that we always get the positive eye, the blessing eye of the Vaishnavas toward us. Okay. Serving the Vaishnavas, if we have offended the Vaishnavas, serving them, worshipping them. And if there are some difficulties in the relationship, we can always worship in the mind. Yesterday Narayani Mataji was speaking about Manasa Seva, making a throne in the heart and worshipping the Lord. So this is authorized way if we have a Vaishnava that we don't want to go too close, but we have to ask forgiveness. We can also do it in the mind, bring him a garland, bring him incense, worshipping in the mind. So this is what I was trying to prepare for today. Today the Lord is giving advice, direct advice to Dovasa Muni. The advice is fast, fast, go fast. The chakra is burning behind your back. Do it immediately. Go and apologize. Go and ask forgiveness. And we were we were analyzing why the devotees are so dear to the Lord, how we can avoid to offend them by valuing them, worshipping them, and what to do if the offense is done, to very seriously, very fast, going to ask for apology. And this is not easy. This is not easy. And those are weights, heavy weights that we carry in our back. When we did an aparad, when Vaishnava is not happy with us, and we don't ask forgiveness, we don't have the humility to do that, to approach them and ask for forgiveness, we keep a heavy load on our shoulder, and then another load, and another load. And you know how fast can you walk when you have a lot of load on your shoulder? It goes very, very slow. As soon as something is happening, fast, immediately it's burning, go to the Vaishnava. Like they will say, put a blade of grass in your teeth, bow down, offer your obeisance, ask for forgiveness. Then you keep light. Your whole spiritual life, you keep light. You can advance smooth. But if you keep those bad feelings that have been done to other Vaishnava on your shoulders, then spiritual life is going slow, 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 heavy, difficult. So I hope something was inspiring for you. That's the best I could do. I'm very happy that I could get this opportunity to do this service. We have a little time. I hope you have easy questions for me. And if you have some comments and some... I will be happy actually... Oh, we don't have the extra microphone for the... Do we have... I will be very happy to start the journey by asking Adi Purusha. Adi Purusha is one of my teachers, and I'm sure you have something relevant to add into the lecture for a comment. I'm sure they should be able to manage it. Yeah.
Thank you for your very systematic, nice presentation with three parts and a particular recommendation. I have something to add. I have a question which is not easy. I say it. Probably you have experienced that sometimes, especially having to manage or guide people, you have to take decisions, and no matter what decision you make, somebody will be dissatisfied. If you said this way, that part is dissatisfied. If you said that way, this part is dissatisfied. So what do you do if you don't? Whatever you decide, somebody is unsatisfied with the decision, maybe you take offense, maybe you even are very unhappy with the decision. But saying you have to accept one way or the other. What you suggest to these cases?
Thank you. Few things. One thing I would suggest, do not take the decision alone. Consult with your Brahmanical Council advisor before taking this decision. Is that a good decision or not? Then when you have to give the decision to the devotee, you have a backup. You say this was decided with the Brahmana Council. So then it's not just you, and the person will not take it personally, but understand it was very well thought decision. Then explain nicely why. I think this very often we might say, oh, sorry, it's like this, like that, but we don't explain properly the why this decision was taken. And if that is done and your mood is in a supportive way, you don't want to chastise the person, but you even think of alternative way for that person to continue in his service, then the person will take it quite good. That's what you can do from your side. Then if the person still don't take it good, then what to do? That's out of your hands. But I think if you follow that, not taking the decision alone, getting advice from Brahmanas, and then to explain properly the why this decision was taken, then it should be quite secure. Anyone else? Yeah? Explain how could Duvasa Muni do this action because he's a great devotee? Thank you. That's a good question. One way of seeing that is all into the Lila Shakti of the Lord. The Lord has arranged the pastime. The Lord had covered Duvasa Muni in that way so that he will act in that way so that the pastimes could happen like this, so that we can actually all learn from these pastimes and get. So it will be dangerous to say Duvasa Muni was just in Maya. I think he was certainly in Maya to do that, but that was the wish of the Lord. That was part of the Leela, so that it will happen like this, and we could all benefit from hearing that story. That's what I would.
We shouldn't consider that whatever act he has done, he has done according to his own or plan of the Lord.
One more time? I'm not sure I got it.
We understand that whatever he did, he did not bring this on own. This was the plan of the Lord. He said that.
That's
the Lord.
Yeah. But I'm not sure, maybe the Maharaj, I'm sorry, we don't have a wireless microphone today. We have only a microphone with cord. It's good to have senior devotees to help answering questions.
If you make a mistake, don't blame the Lord that it was the Lord who made you make the mistake. You have your own choice, your own decision. If you don't act properly, and say, well, it's like in the court, the murderer was caught, and he would say, the devil made me do it. So you cannot blame, or you cannot put your actions from the Lord. It's the Lord's choice. It's your decision.
Thank you, Maharaj. So that means we are not Duvasa Muni, and we cannot think that anything we do, maybe it was the Lila Shakti of the Lord today that made me. No, we are in a totally other category. And yeah, thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Yeah?
Also, one of the famous and commentators, and one of them seems to indicate that this story is there to establish the glory of Bhakti. So on the surface of it, he does something that's strange, but Gilday Lobosami seems to indicate that he did it consciously to glorify Bhakti, to show that Bhakti is more glorious than the yoga, the vasya, jnana, and all the other processes.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Then I thank you for your attention. Let's hope we will see all the Vaishnavas in the heart of the Lord, and value them, worship them, and make sure Krishna will be pleased by our attitude toward the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.